This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. And I am so pleased today to have one of my favorite authors and one of my favorite people on. His name is Doug Snelson. He's been on before. He's a children's book author, and I've interviewed him about his previous books. And I'll share with you that I met him several years ago at a time in my life where I was going through a transition, and I was doing something with regard to business, art, and authorship. And I met this man and I saw him perform one of his books. He writes wonderful children's books. He wrote a short children's book that was called Who's Got the Face? Look it up. It's a great book. I saw him at this event actually do a reading of this book, and he just blew me away. And I still know him, and I'm really happy that he still wants to engage with me. Now that I'm interviewing him about a third book that's called Everybody Deserves a Hug. How apropos is that? How apropos is it to this time that we're going through right now? So Doug, welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I'm so thrilled that you're here.
Well, thank you so much, Toni. And I am I'm just excited and pleased to be talking to you anytime. And thank you for inviting me to Energy Stoners Cafe.
Well, thank you for agreeing to do this interview. Now, I read this book today, and I did weep a little bit because I do need a hug, you know? And what prompted you to write this book? And tell the audience when you started it and what was the inspiration for you to start writing this book?
Well, I'm going to come clean on this. I started writing this book a couple years ago.
Oh, so you had a little foresight.
No, I didn't have foresight. It was something that, you know, I've talked to you about how we as writers try to express our heart, mind, and soul, for me, in the simplest and kindest way. And so I wrote this draft of this down and put it aside and was talking to my editor about another story that I had written. And she gave me reasons why she didn't like it. And she's a wonderful editor. And so I said, well, let me send you a few other things. And one of the things that I sent her I probably sent her five things. And she immediately got back to me. And she said, why have you been holding on to this? Everybody deserves a hug. This is wonderful. Now she said, this is wonderful. I don't think it's not like
that. Well, I imagine. Yes. But, okay.
So we worked together on it, and it was pretty much, you know, start to finish with very few changes. And then I asked my daughter, Renee, who, you know, Toni, has illustrated the first two books, and she had some time to work with me to illustrate this third book. And it just turned out much, 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 much better than I even thought it would turn out. In fact, our grandchild was born and we were coming down to the wire to print this. And it was just lucky that our grandson was born and we were able to dedicate the book to our grandson from Diane and me, or Gramps and Grammy, as we like to say. So that generated, that's how that kind of started. And then other things started to happen for me. People started to say, geez, I miss hugs. And then the pandemic hit pretty strongly, and people were responding. Friends, family, and people that I don't know are responding very positively to this whole idea of hugs. And I looked into it a little bit more, and I found out that when a person hugs another person, they actually release a hormone, and the hormone is called oxytocin. Now, it's the hormone that is associated with empathy, trust, relationship building. It's sometimes referred to as the love hormone, but it's actually released when you hug someone. Now, interestingly, even more, which I got excited about, is that if you think about someone that you love and you want to hug them, the hormone, according to one study that I read, is also released from your body or in your body. And I thought, wow, this is just really cool. So whether anybody bought the book or not, just the idea of getting that word out was very, very exciting to me. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. We released it a couple months ago, and then just recently have also converted it to the paperback edition. So it's all over the web now. Of course, it's on Amazon and Baker and Taylor for librarians and educators and teachers and all that. So it's just been a very exciting journey. And you, my good friend, Tony, were one person that just picked up on it. So look at that. I said to myself, I got to talk to Tony about this.
Yeah, I just love everything that you do, Doug, you know, because everything you've done that I've read has had tremendous meaning to me personally. And also, I could sort of see how it would affect the collective positively. Now, you just said something about every time you hug someone, you actually release a hormone.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? It's
yes.
Called oxytocin. So it's OXYTOCIN. And it's something that everybody should just, you know, to Google it and you can find some information about it. And, you know, you and I were talking about preparation, or I was thinking about some of the things that I wanted to share while we spoke about this book, which I really appreciate. But also, as a writer, what am I thinking about, and just my personal views on what I've been going through, and perhaps what other writers or creative people might be going through. So I was hoping I could share a little of that with you.
Please do. Please do.
Well, I wrote down three things that I thought were important. I thought to myself, any creative person now or through this period has to first embrace the silence, not just deal with the silence, embrace the silence. Because with silence, you start to acquire this self-knowledge. Being quiet is good. Being peaceful is good. Embracing it, I think you find certain truths about yourself. And let me say this, that those truths are what are reflected in your own experience. So it's not finding the truth, it's finding a truth.
Oh.
It's like, you know, looking into your soul. It's not that you have found the path of your soul. It's just that you met your soul walking along your path.
Oh.
And it's just, so that's one thing that I would encourage people to, creative people to do. Another thought that I had was this notion of suffering. We've all suffered in individual ways, not just creative people. All of us have suffered, whether it be family. We're not going into politics. We're not going to talk about religion. We're not going to talk about any of that. However, I immediately thought of a book that I read many, many years ago that I highly recommend. It was on the bestseller, New York Times bestseller for many, many years. It was called The Road Less Traveled. Do you remember
I read that book.
Yes.
That book. changed me.
M. Scott Peck. And he said, and I don't mean to go on too much about it, but let me just take another minute on it. He talked about suffering can be overcome in a number of ways. And one of the ways, whatever you, however you suffer, and that's a very powerful word as a writer, because believe me, when I hear negative news or bad news, or, you know, it pops up on the computer or the laptop, or I hear it on the radio or on the TV, it's just hard sometimes to get all this noise out. And for a writer, I think there are the four qualities that Peck talks about that to achieve discipline to write. And he says, first, you have to have a delay of gratification. And that is, things aren't going to come. Don't worry about it if things aren't going to come quickly to you, and don't expect them to come quickly to you. But just keep on writing or drawing or whatever it is that you do. Secondly, take an acceptance or make an acceptance of responsibility for what you do every single day, whether it's writing or washing the dishes or making the bed or saying hello to your neighbor. Because in the end, that's going to impact in a very positive way, in my opinion, on your writing.
Yeah.
The third, there are two more things. Were one is, and this is a very difficult one. It comes up in so many different types of literature. That is dedication to the truth in all its forms. It's a very difficult thing to do. When you're talking to people, when you're seeing people, when you're having conversations through this very, very difficult time, dedication to whatever your personal truth is, and being committed to it, but being committed to it in a humble way. And then the last thing I was reminded of Peck's book was a sense of balancing, a physical and emotional and spiritual sense of balance. Get out and walk, get out into the fresh air, exercise, pray if that's what you need to do, meditate if that's what you need to do, take a cooking class if that's what you need to do. So there you go. That was some of my thinking.
How long ago did you read A Road Less Traveled? I'm just curious.
That book was very popular in the 80s.
That's when I read it, yeah.
Yes, so we're talking 30 years ago. It's funny how a good book hits you between the eyes, you know?
It hit me between the eyes, that's for sure. I'll never forget reading it. And I thank you for bringing that up, because I recommend it for anybody who's listening. Not over your book, of course, but A Road Less Traveled, if you really want to change your life internally. Some people have described it as a little harsh, but it's
yes,
a harsh reality, but it's so worth enduring this book, every page.
Well, you know, that's a good point. And I recently read something, and I don't know where I read it from, but I'm going to paraphrase. But they were talking about being courageous to do creative things, and that it takes courage to put yourself out there at a time when the world seems so gloomy. Mm-hmm. And this person was defining courage as a self-inflicted quality that gains momentum every time you try it. And I really like that if you just commit to the thought that I'm going to try again and try again, then you'll get through the pandemic. You'll come up with some creative ideas, even if those creative ideas you don't think are as worthwhile to you at the time. Ultimately, they'll multiply in ways in your mind that will evolve into something beautiful and wonderful. That's my view, of course.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're saying this, because the work that I've seen that you've published has been, I'm going to use the word joyful. I feel joyful. I mean, they're children's books. And it's funny, I read this book, it's a children's book, and I found that I needed it. And when I got it, I said, I got to read this. You know, I started reading it and I actually felt a little bit tearful, but it wasn't like I was sad, but it was kind of like I felt like something was released.
Oh, that's so kind of you.
Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. And I will recommend it to people because in this day and age right now, we do need a hug. As you might agree or might not agree, I believe that we're going through a collective depression, a collective mm-hmm. melancholy, a mm-hmm. collective trauma. You know, yes. It's not something, and even though we're experiencing it differently, we're all experiencing yes. it. And this book, I can say, did a little bit of healing, a quick amount of healing. You know, people in the world with COVID and our families, and there's a lot of sadness,
yes.
but there's some yes. joy in this. And I want to make a comment about the illustration that Renee Snelson did. I mean, I think it's brilliant. And I've looked at the colors, and it's interesting that I'm mentoring someone right now in marketing, and I'm talking to him a little bit about choosing fonts and choosing colors. And there's a symbology in colors, but this one is like, seems like it was very well thought out. There are shades of things instead of like the exact color, you know? Talk to me a little bit about that and how you and Renee work together with your writing and her illustration, because artists do collaborate. Ideally, in my opinion, I believe that artists should collaborate. You're fortunate enough to be able to collaborate with someone in your family, but collaboration is really important for artistry. So talk to me a little bit about how the illustration and the characters came about.
You say things and you remind me of lines from here and there and things that we've probably talked about in the past, referring directly to Renee on this. Khalil Gibran wrote The Prophet, and in The Prophet, he wrote about a lot of different topics. And one of the topics was about work. And he said, work is love made visible. And what I've been fortunate enough to have with Renee is that we have, and it is because she is my daughter, I think, there is a chemistry of understanding that is exchanged in our discussion and our eyes. We don't have to say a lot to each other. I will write the words, then Renee will come up with, she came up with the character, and then we talk about where should the characters be in relationship to the words. And what I've learned is that I need to give her as much freedom as possible to express that joy that she has inside. And your observation, which I will share with her, which she'll be thrilled to hear, is how she uses color and color in all of its form. And in the book, Everybody Deserves a Hug, there are many different emotions, many different colors of life that are expressed and need to be expressed. So when she puts something together and we'll review it, it's rare when I will, let me use the word reject. It's more like, oh, gee, that is wow, I love where you're going with that. And one thing in all the books that Renee has illustrated, the three children's books, if you look at the eyes, the eyes in all the books just pierce right through you.
Yes.
And so it's a combination of, and the eyes are really, everything is colorful, but the eyes are sort of dark. Dark eyes and, you know, with white around the eyes, that there's color all over the place. So you kind of unconsciously focus on the eyes, even though you see all this color all around. So that's how, you know, we've approached this particular book, and it's just been very, very exciting.
I noticed that she gave the eyes, what I'm noticing is an expression of earnest.
Yes.
And you read through it and you look at the pictures, and even though they're characters and it's not a discernible animal, you know, but you look at the eyes and you can feel sort of like the emotion of earnest, and which is sincerity, in my opinion. And also the expression of love comes through the background. It's not like right in your face. And when you look at it, you realize that everything's in a heart. You know, it's not apparent until you, like I get a lot of books to read. I have a lot of books to read. People send me books to read because they want an interview or a review or something like that. But what happens is somehow subliminally, the whole emotion of love is projected throughout the book, every page, but you don't realize it. It's not apparent immediately until if you're of the mind to study it. I think it's perfect for children, especially now. I think it's perfect for adults.
Interesting point. First of all, thank you for commenting on that. We have, of course, for children, we get so many requests for that, for baby showers and young children and kindergartens, first grade, second grade. But we get a lot of requests from adults who want to give the book to another adult.
Right.
They want to find a way to express themselves with that other adult. And that has been a wonderful outshoot of just putting this book together. You know, when I write and I create something, I'm thinking, again, what does my heart, mind, and soul want to communicate? And then let the universe determine whether or not it's worthwhile to the universe. But when adults pick it up and give it to other adults, I'm thinking, oh, this is good. I've connected. And what more can a writer do than try to connect with another person?
I can see giving this book to a lover. I can. I'm serious. I can. And I think that if it's a real lover, they would appreciate it. There's just something about it. What I can say, and you can share this with Renee as well, is that the illustration with these characters, very touchable. They're very touchable. She somehow, in a two-dimensional form, made it seem so incredibly tactile.
Yes.
You know, and it takes a special talent to do that. I'm not an illustrator. A lot of people think if you're a visual artist, you can illustrate. Not necessarily so. Because I don't, you know, I'm an artist, as you know, I'm not an illustrator. She's definitely knows what she's doing. These characters are, I'd say, the most tactile I've seen of your books. And I love them all, but this one, this is just so timely.
Yes. Well, my editor, when we did come out, it was just coincidental that this happened. National Hugging Day is coming up on January 21st.
Ooh.
So that's happening. And locally down here in South Carolina, some people have heard about what we're doing. So we're going to be perhaps having a few interviews with them as well. And it's very, very exciting to bring the word out, you know, on a greater level. I think also in just about every single illustration, other than a few, so where everybody wants to laugh, chuckles will burst, breaking in half. But in just about every single spread, the characters some way are touching each other.
Oh, nice.
And so your comment is well received. And I think you're exactly right on that. And she has been able to create a character that is familiar, but unfamiliar, but approachable.
Very approachable.
And so it's been a lot of fun.
Do you ever think about creating like an actual cuddly toy with this character? Because if I had one, I would own it and I would be squeezing it to death.
You know, Tony, and that is such an excellent question. And let me give you my experience. On Who's Got the Face, we attempted to create a toy. And we noticed that to produce the toy in the United States was expensive. So we went overseas. And all I'll say is that with the language barrier, it didn't work out very well. Now, I would love to talk to someone about doing a toy with this, with Everybody Deserves a Hug. But I am tentative for a very humble reason. When people know who I am or are familiar with my books, I've been very fortunate because they'll learn more about it. They're interested. Perhaps they'll buy a book or two. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not a household name. And because I'm not a household name, I'm not known on a national basis. And you need something like that to justify bringing, you know, a toy to complement the book, because I do think it's an excellent idea. But that's my honest answer.
I think that, you know, the possibilities are endless. And, you know, we could talk about that maybe. I just can't imagine that you wouldn't make a toy for this. Then again, I'm not really in that business. It's just a thought that came to mind.
I think it's a good thought, a wonderful thought.
Only because of the two-dimensional version of these are, if you look at it and you feel like you want to like grab it and squeeze it. You know, just looking at these characters, they're very appealing. I'll say it like that. And, you know, you think about people that are like at this point in the hospital and say they can't see their family. It'd be really nice to give them one of these to just cuddle next to.
We've been asked by some, I'll just say we have been asked by some organizations to expand the book distribution via sponsorship of a paperback edition of this for people who are purchasing or part of the services that are being offered. And some of that is in the healthcare area. Some of that is in the fashion area. So we're taking a look at that. You know, that's one way to expand the distribution potential.
I think it's, you know, it's just something, it's just a thought. It's like, I guess I'm kind of thinking out loud, which is why I get a lot of my ideas are stolen worldwide, because I think out loud too often, but that's okay. Because, you know, the idea is to express yourself. But I just love this book. Now, what are you going to do next? Because I know the last time I interviewed you, it was about a different project, you know, which I'll talk to you about again at some point for sure. But what are the plans for this? Are you just going to keep distributing it? I'm really encouraged by this one for you. You're on to something here.
Well, this book has received more attention than anything I've ever published. So we're going to continue. And my wife, Diane, and I, you know, Diane, we are partners in our little small independent publishing company.
Pedalus Publishing,
exactly. And she has a marketing background herself. So she is working with me on a full-time basis to help me market this, you know, while we're both doing different things. And it's really helped us enormously. So we are going to continue to move or try to forward the distribution of Everybody Deserves a Hug, not just through Amazon and Baker & Taylor and Ingram Spark and libraries and school systems, but through many organizations because of the nature of the message. So we're going to continue to do that. From a writing perspective, I have about a half a dozen stories that I have written that have not about hugs, but other things that are starting to boil up. And I have one project, Tony, that I'm hoping I can bring to life. And that is, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer a couple of years ago. Oh, it worked out fine. It was in my family. It wasn't a matter of if, it was more a matter of when. In my particular family, my brothers had it. All of us are healthy and doing fine. I probably wouldn't have brought it up if I didn't have that kind of experience. But in going through that experience, I had what is called is IGRT, image-guided radiation therapy. And when I received that therapy, it was radiation of about 4 minutes at an office. There were two large machines, and you had to wait in a room with about 12 chairs. And sometimes there were two guys, and it was always men, of course. Maybe there were six or eight men all waiting for their time to go under this machine, this radiation machine. So I decided that I would keep a journal of that experience. And out of that experience, I met some of the most fascinating people who were had one common denominator, and that is that they were ill from this terrible disease. And let me give you just one quick experience that, I remember. One gentleman was dressed in gray, all dressed in gray, gray hat, gray shirt, gray. And I met him maybe 12 or 13 times in that room, because we were all supposed to be scheduled roughly around the same time. And there were 43 treatments that I had to go through.
Wow.
Every time I saw him, he wore the same clothes. And when he spoke, it was as if he was speaking in a shadow. And when he spoke, it was as if there was a halo around him. It was a gray halo. And when he spoke, he talked about how he should have taken care of himself many, many years earlier. He, in his particular case, did not have a good prognosis. And yet we talked about that. I call him the gray man. And so that was one character, if you will, of that journal. And what I am working on, what I'd like to do one day, is transfer that into some kind of a play. That's interesting to me and exciting to me, because I've written, believe it or not, 10,000 words in that journal, and I have to cull it down. You know, the beauty of writing a children's book is that I can be very judicious, I think is the right word, with words, try to get the biggest idea with the fewest amount of words, enhanced by the illustrations, so that collectively the illustrations and the words that are on the pages make an impact. I've been fairly successful with that. This, however, this journal is a little bit different, because now I'm trying to capture the emotion and the sensibility, bringing that individual to life. Oh, there are so many people like that that I met. So that's another idea that I'm working on.
Yeah, I think that with authors, from my experience interviewing them and also being one, that it seems that it's like it's a very ongoing process that comes from the inside and comes out. But I think that's part of the magic of being an artist or a writer. So what are your next plans for this book? I mean, you sound like you have some ideas brewing. I can imagine that you'll be able to bring a lot of this to fruition, because this book is very special. Even the cover itself, it's hard to stop looking at it because of the colors that Renee chose, that you and Renee chose, I imagine.
Let me defer to Renee. Renee has a wonderful sensibility. You know, Renee also has her own company. It's called Fully Design. And she and her business partner helped work the Macy's windows this past year. Just most recently during the COVID year, they were asked to contribute to Macy's windows. And so they made characters and they made backgrounds and she made video. And she's a very, very, very talented artist. And she's just one of those people that works at her craft. She works at her craft, but she also has a gift. And one of her gifts is this wonderful use of color. And I'm just very fortunate that she works with me on these books. So we're going to continue to, you know, work that way. But other things that I'm doing, I have been in touch with some of the school systems that I've been in touch with in the past. And instead of doing on-site readings, I am doing Zoom readings now and Zoom presentations, not only with this book, but also with my poetry book. And what I find interesting is when I'm able to connect with an older residential community. When I say that, an over 55 type of community, and there are so many of them around the country. And I'll work with the lifestyle director, and I will talk about my poetry, which of course reflects 50 years of my own life, but also they're at a time when they're having grandchildren. And so I'll bring up the children's books, and we all have a lot of fun with it. It's just a lot of fun. So that's another avenue in terms of a program, things that keep me busy in trying to give my heart, mind, and soul the greatest possible release.
That's so excellent. You know, the end is pretty soon. There's any way you can tell the audience where they can have the opportunity to purchase this book and also to hear your reading? You know, it's like you're just such a great, you perform work the way I was taught to perform my writing when I was in the ninth grade. You know, I was taught that it's to be read aloud.
That's so kind of you. By the way, and you just hit on something, and I know we're at the end here. When I write so that what is written is to be read aloud. And that's my poetry, and those are my children's books. So you really did hit upon something very strongly. Well, my website is dougsnelson.com. So that's a simple way to get in touch with me for readings or anything. We do sell our books at dougsnelson.com. We try to give discount because you're coming to our website. If you do come to our website and you do decide to purchase this book or other books, not only will I sign it, but we give out little free refrigerator magnets that have the cover, Everybody Deserves a Hug. We give out coloring activity sheets for the grandchildren, three little sheets of spreads that are in the book. You can also get it on Amazon. You can get it through Ingram Spark. You can get it through Baker & Taylor. There are so many other websites connected to Amazon. And, you know, we're actually international now with this book because of Kindle Direct Publishing. So you can either get the hard copy or you can get the paperback edition. You could start at dougsnelson.com or you can go right to those other places. And I really appreciate you asking me.
Yeah, this is wonderful, Doug. You're just such a vibrant energy that just shines through wherever you are. I remember at one point you actually drove up from New Jersey to my studio where you met Jim and we did a video interview, and we're still friends. And it really actually started with the book festival in Manhattan. And I just was just blown away by you then. And that was in 2008. And I'll always remember 2008 because I had just lost my husband and I was there at the book festival pushing some poetry books. And there you were with Who's Got the Face. And when you performed, I was just, I told everybody about you. Never forgot your name. Kept checking it out. And here we are. You know, this is a wonderful thing. And this book is so appropriate for what we're going on right now. So I'm going to tell the audience that I'm so glad that you came to listen to this particular interview because everyone deserves a hug. It's not even everybody needs a hug. It's everybody deserves a hug, okay? And that's another thing I caught on to, the fact that you chose the word deserves and not needs. And I recommend it to children of all ages because it is that good. And I'm just like, I'm sitting here caressing the book. Just the way the cover and everything, it's a beautiful thing. I'm going to say goodbye. And Doug, we will talk again. You know that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tony.
It's 100% my pleasure.
Oh, like
I'm going to thank the audience for listening to this interview and coming to the Energy Stoners Cafe. You never know. Someday it might be a brick and mortar cafe. I kind of envision this. And come back and listen again, because I always promise to have the best guests that I could find on the planet. That's why I love the internet. I love technology because it really does bring us all together. It's not a cold thing. It's red hot, it's warm, and it's fuzzy. It's bringing us together. And I thank you, Doug, so much for coming on the show again. And I thank the audience for listening. And next time, I will have someone good again for you to listen to. So I'll say goodbye, and I'll say goodnight to everybody, and be safe and be nice. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.